This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Mount Everest and the story of three teams of climbers caught in a ferocious storm near the summit is our main focus today. We'll talk with climber David Brashears about his Frontline documentary, Storm Over Everest. But we begin with today's earthquake in western China. Earlier today, around 2:28 in the afternoon local time, a 7.8 magnitude earthquake devastated parts of Sichuan province. According to the Chinese government, the number killed stands at nearly 9,000, and hundreds are trapped in the rubble of collapsed buildings. The full extent of the casualties and damage may not be known for days. There are several major cities in the region, including Chengdu and the nearby municipality Chongqing. Our colleague Melissa Block, co-host of All Things Considered, was in Chengdu earlier today recording an interview when the earthquake struck.
To pastor the church or to grow in the church, to plant the church.
What's going on? The whole building is shaking. The whole building is shaking. Oh my goodness. We're in the middle of an earthquake?
Earthquake,
the whole block is shaking.
Yeah.
Pieces, the top of the church is falling down. The ground is shaking underneath our feet and all of the people are running out in the street. As we're standing here, birds are flying. The ground is undulating under my feet.
NPR's Melissa Block on assignment in Chengdu, China, just 55 miles from the epicenter of the quake. Joining us now is William Kirby, director of the Fairbanks Center of Chinese Studies at Harvard University. He returned from Sichuan Province just last month and joins us from a studio at Harvard University campus in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Good of you to be with us today.
My pleasure, Neil.
And give us a sense what this part of China is like. For example, how big is Chengdu?
Well, Chengdu is a big and modern city. The municipality itself has as many as 12 million people in it, and it is a stunningly beautiful and modern city in the far western part of China.
And developed rapidly over the past several years?
Developed very rapidly, particularly over the last 30 years. But this part of China, Sichuan and the Sichuan Basin, on which Chengdu is on the western edge, has historically been one of the richest and most developed parts of China.
Is this a flat country, hilly, what?
The earthquake will have taken place just into the beginnings of the Tibetan highlands, and so in very mountainous and difficult terrain. But very shortly, as one heads toward Chengdu, Chengdu is the beginning of the flat and very lush Sichuan Basin, and it's the intersection of the plates along the Sichuan Basin and the Tibetan Plain that appear to be the cause of this quake.
And as you look at let me put it this way: when quakes like this have happened in places like Turkey, for example, there were a lot of questions about the quality of construction and whether people built to the code that they were supposed to build to. Would there be reasons in this part of China to fear that buildings were not up to code?
Well, it would appear, at least from the first reports of Chengdu, which is quite close to the epicenter, that its new buildings withstood the quake very well. How that would be the case as one gets into more suburban cities like Mianyang or others that have been more rapidly built but at a less high and less modern standard, that will remain to be seen. But I understand the troops and the rescue missions have not been able to make their way to the actual epicenter of the quake yet.
And so infrastructure in that sort of sense, it's going to be a while before we really know what happened.
It will be a while before we know the extent of the damage. The epicenter is happily a less populated area. But one thing we do know is that this is the largest quake in China for 30 years. In 1976, there was a similar quake of 7.8 magnitude on the Richter scale in the city of Tangshan. And somewhere, and no one knows for sure, between 300,000 and 800,000 people died. And the government reacted much more slowly, in a much more self-isolating fashion, with much less information available to Chinese and to the international community. It's quite a different government and quite a different response.
So you would expect that, in fact, for one thing, the government has admitted that this has happened on the same day that it happened.
It's really quite remarkable when one sees how perhaps this is the result of its difficulties with the SARS epidemic, but the Chinese government has responded very, very quickly. You can go, as I did earlier today, to the Sichuan Provincial Government website in Chinese, and you will find direct information about the quake from the Sichuan Provincial Government. Chinese newspapers and radio and television have been reporting it very directly. And the premier of China, Premier Wang Jiabao, has flown out to the site. He himself is a trained geologist by profession before his political career to take charge of the rescue operations. It really stands in remarkable contrast, it seems to me, to what we've seen very recently in Burma, or for that matter, in recent years in the United States.
And as you talk about this area of China, you said it's very prosperous and historically prosperous. Is this a farming area? Is this industrial? What goes on there?
It is historically a farming and mercantile area, but it is now also a very heavy industrial area. The city of built up since the nationalists established their wartime capital in Sichuan in 1939. It has been an industrial area, but today it is a growing high technology area, an area of China's electronics industry, and the site of one of China's great universities, in Sichuan University.
Another city, not in Sichuan, but nearby, Chongqing, was, of course, the wartime capital of China during the Second World War. It's a port city on the Yangtze, and I guess some Americans would be familiar with it.
Many Americans would be familiar from what they have read, and our fathers and grandfathers from what they experienced during the war. And it shows you the remarkable change that China has undergone in the last half century and more. Chiang Kai-shek established his wartime capital in Chongqing, as it was then known in English, because it was basically inaccessible to the Japanese and, for the most part, even to Japanese bombers. Today, if you visit Chongqing, you see a Manhattan on the Yangtze, enormous skyscrapers, which seem to have survived this quake unscathed, enormous skyscrapers on a port that, thanks to the Three Gorges Dam project, is now an ocean-going port 1,500 miles up the Yangtze. It's a remarkable site of Chinese modernity deep in the heart of China.
You mentioned the Three Gorges Dam, of course, a huge construction project that, some people even worried that the weight of this dam itself might cause pressure and set off earthquakes. There's no indication that that happened one way or the other. Nevertheless, Xinhua, the Chinese news agency, says the dam itself was not damaged.
That is what they say, and there's no reason to doubt that at the moment, but I think there have been also numerous aftershocks to this quake, and I'm sure that they will have to do a very careful evaluation of the state of the dam in the aftermath of this very large quake.
The Associated Press, by the way, in its latest story, estimates the death toll at nearly 9,000 and suggests it's likely to soar as they reach areas cut off from relief, which you, in fact, Professor Kirby, were suggesting a minute ago. The small county, Bechuan, as part of Sichuan province, I understand you haven't been there, but can you tell us what it might be like?
Well, the areas that have been hit most directly, several of them are just a little bit beyond within 90 miles or so of Chengdu, so within very close proximity. And some of them are well-developed and industrial, and others become increasingly rural. A rural city in this part of Sichuan today will have houses that are both of traditional stone and brick, and others that are of two or three or more story homes of farmers that will be of more modern construction. How well constructed, I don't know, and would not be able to say without having seen what has happened in this area. If one goes into the epicenter area beyond this, those villages will be quite isolated. They're a mixture of Han and Tibetan populations, and their construction can be expected to be of a very traditional and almost surely very dangerous sort.
You mentioned the treatment, the way the government handled the SARS, the startup of the SARS epidemic just a few years ago. Would this, too, be seen, how well they respond to this? Will this be an important test of the government?
It will be an important test. It would be a test that I would imagine it will be able to meet well, in part because of the proximity of the damage to such a modern city with such modern infrastructure, a city such as Chengdu, in part because Chengdu is home to the Chengdu Military Command, a regional command of the People's Liberation Army, so there are lots of troops immediately available to assist in this, and in part because of the embarrassment of the government in not being able to deal as well as it would have liked with the great snow emergency of this last winter when snowstorms snarled train traffic at the height of the Chinese New Year. I think the government has, since the SARS epidemic, made significant efforts to respond not only quickly but publicly in a way that is really quite new for the government of the People's Republic of China.
And how much would this, to what degree would this monopolize the attention of the government? Obviously, China is busy with any number of other things, from planning the Olympic Games this summer in Beijing to hearing pleas to get Myanmar to accept aid from the outside world. Is this going to preoccupy the Chinese government?
It will certainly, what obviously is preoccupying the central leadership if the premier of the country has flown out within hours of the quake to take personal charge over the rescue efforts. And it is all over the Chinese press, over the Chinese internet, over internet communications. It is a very big story in China, just as it is a very big story around the world. And the prestige of this government, such as any government, like that of any government dealing with crisis, is always in part at stake is how one responds to a disaster.
Again, the latest figures we have from the Associated Press, nearly 9,000 known to be dead. Those numbers likely to soar as they reach areas that have been cut off from relief so far. One of the reasons news is trickling in so slowly, it is now 3:15 in the morning in Chengdu, 12 hours ahead of Eastern time. William Kirby, thanks very much for your time today.
My pleasure, Neil. Thank you.
William Kirby is director of the Fairbanks Center of Chinese Studies at Harvard University. He joined us from a studio on the campus of Harvard in Cambridge, Massachusetts. When we come back, we're going to focus on the story of 14 climbers who were trapped on Mount Everest 12 years ago as a sudden storm swept up. They crowded onto the summit and five of them died there. I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.